We are delighted to give you permission to bite it.
Most folks acquainted with the hip-hop scene of the Bay Area are familiar with the renowned group of Filipino-American turntablist, Visible Scratch Pickles. As Filipinos, we cling to the fame of DJ Kubert, DJ Apollo, Mixmaster Mike, and others because we very rarely see our culture and community represented in mainstream media. What most folks may not know is that these famous turntablists were cut from the same cloth of a thriving Bay Area Filipino-American mobile DJ scene in the late 70s to early 90s. These mobile DJ crews were comprised of mostly teenagers organizing themselves to provide audio and lighting services at your sister's cotillion, your cousin's wedding, your local church party, or other recreational activities associated with the Filipino family. Which is a lot because Filipinos love to party. There has been little to no formal documentation of this thriving scene. Until recently, I've only been fortunate enough to learn a little bit about the scene from the stories my dad shares with me and my siblings about his time as a DJ and b-boy growing up. In the recently published book, Legions of Boom by Oliver Wang, we learn about the rise and fall of the Filipino-American mobile DJ crews of the Bay Area. If you haven't checked out the book yet, you'll have the opportunity to get a taste of it at the upcoming Legions of Boom panel and party at Bindlestiff Studio. I sat down with Bindlestiff's managing director, Oliver Saria, to talk about the book, his personal connections to the scene, and the upcoming two-day event.
As a Filipino-American growing up during that time period, I mean, you go to a family party and there's, you know, your cousin who has turntables and he's a DJ. Hip-hop was part of my life and my upbringing, and, you know, there's the stereotype, like, every Filipino knows, like, or is a DJ and or a b-boy or, you know, something associated with that scene. That certainly was my experience.
While you were reading the book, did you recall any specific memories or stories that you had?
I remember being like 12 years old, and my cousin Ed Ross, we had like a little, it was an intimate going away party for me and my family. We were moving to Illinois from Stockton. It was just him just spinning in his basement and showing me some breakdancing moves. You know, from then on, I was b-boying nonstop for the next 2 or 3 years. It's not uncommon for a lot of folks in the community, you know, if there's a cotillion or a debut or a baptism or, you know, some type of, you know, wedding or any party in a hall, there's always that standard DJ set where there's music for the kids and then there's music for the adults, which usually involves some cha-cha music. I think one of the more interesting aspects of the scene was the intergenerational aspect of it. You know, there's a stereotype of Asian families not being supportive of their kids pursuing art. If anything, our parents' lives just incorporated dance and music and, you know, art and storytelling. And definitely within the mobile DJ scene, it was essentially financed by middle class Filipino families, you know, buying this equipment and, you know, encouraging their sons and in some cases their daughters to pursue DJing as, you know, an alternative to any number of things that teenagers could get into. Oliver Wang explains it was seen as something entrepreneurial. These kids, mostly in high school, this was a hobby that they actually got paid for, and it was seen as kind of a part-time job.
Moving on to the event, how did you come up with the idea of having a panel and party based on Legions of Boom? How does this academic text translate into an immersive theater experience?
So I ran into Oliver Wang late last year at a panel that he was moderating for Kernish G Workshop. You know, he had mention that he would like to do an event at Bindlestiff. And at the time, some resident artists at Bindlestiff had been kicking around the idea of developing a full-length play based on, you know, some of the music that was happening during that era. So when Oliver Wang approached me to do a panel at Bindlestiff, I had originally thought, well, you know, maybe instead we could do a party or an immersive theater experience. He wanted to do it in May, and May happened to be kind of the perfect opportunity because of the United States of Asian America Festival that the API Cultural Center puts on every year. We were actually given the opportunity to do a two-day event. It just fit perfectly that we could actually do both, the panel and the party.
The panel on Friday, May 13th at 8 p.m. will be moderated by author Oliver Wang, with panelists featured in the book. There will also be DJ demonstrations by DJ Genie G, formerly of Ultimate Creations. As for the party, on Saturday, May 14th at 8 p.m.,
the audience members will be transported to 1988, and they will be attending a family party where a rival DJ crew will crash the party to settle a score. Each actor will be playing multiple characters, some archetypes of what you might see within a Filipino family. There will be audience participation. You know, we will encourage people to come and dance, learn how to cha-cha maybe, maybe pick a side, see which crew, you know, they represent. Folks that are interested in coming, we ask that they please come in costume. So, you know, big hair, peg pants, Adidas tracksuits, things of that nature. It'll just be an excuse to dance and eat some good Filipino food. You can expect to just come to a lively, unpredictable Filipino party with some crazy relatives.
This event is happening in May during Asian Pacific American Heritage Month, and it's part of a series of arts performances and events of multiple genres called the United States of Asian America Festival, presented by Asian Pacific Islander Cultural Center in San Francisco. Can you talk about this year's theme of the festival, which is civil displacement? How does Legions of Boom respond to the theme?
I mean, the whole underpinning of the mobile DJ scene was because of the displacement of the Filipino-American community. You know, as displacement continued through the decades, and as the Filipino-American community achieved like middle-class status, there was not only displacement, but diaspora as well that played into that. So Filipinos that were initially moving into urban centers started to disperse to the outer suburbs of the Bay Area. In order for the community to continue to connect, the DJs essentially had to be mobile. You know, if you have family in Daly City and family in Hercules and Vallejo and Stockton, you know, you're still going to all their parties. So that kind of developed the whole market the mobile DJs catered to. They essentially were bringing the experience of the disco, of the clubs, to people's garages and their basements and churches and halls. In a way, it's a beautiful expression of how our community has responded to, you know, diaspora through the arts and being able to still be connected through music and dance. It's actually perfect that, you know, we're doing this particular show at Bindlestiff at this particular time, given that there's been a lot of displacement of the Filipino-American community in South Market area. Soma Filipinas have been designated as a Filipino cultural heritage district. You know, arts and culture will play a big part in defining what that district looks like and how we represent our community here in San Francisco.
What connections do you see between the Bay Area Filipino mobile DJ scene of the 80s or the 70s through the early 90s, and the Filipino community art scene now?
As someone who's been involved with the Filipino American arts since the late 90s, there's a similar sense of creativity and community and the vibrancy to it. I think in the book, there was mentioned that there wasn't necessarily a Filipino consciousness associated with the scene. It just kind of happened organically. I think that, the difference now is that there is probably more of a consciousness that probably is rooted in the mobile DJ scene. I think growing up, you did start to notice like, wow, there's a lot of Filipinos doing this. And like I said, it kind of became a stereotype of Filipino DJ, the Filipino B-boy. I think that was kind of the start of that consciousness of, Filipinos in art sustaining a really vibrant scene on its own here in the Bay Area. I didn't necessarily become a DJ. My B-boy phase didn't last for too long after a couple injuries. And so for me, I just found another artistic expression that was still very much rooted in the Filipino-American community. I think the DJs influenced the Phil-Am community here in the Bay Area in ways that they might not necessarily realize.
We had talked earlier about how you saw the ending of the Filipino mobile DJ scene as a cautionary tale for us now. Can you talk more about that?
Well, in the book, Oliver Wang, one of the reasons he gave was the mobile DJs didn't necessarily record and disseminate their work in the same way that maybe other scenes had. So there weren't necessarily CDs that you can buy of their set. Apart from certain groups like the Invisible Scratch Pickles, for instance.
Trick number one.
Especially for us at Bindlestiff, we do live theater and it can be pretty ephemeral. Every show is different, every crowd is different. And I think for artists in general, particularly in this age of social media, the more we represent our community and represent our voices, I think the more we can share that and it can spread and disseminate.
Trick number two.
The other cautionary tale that I took away from the book was that part of the fracturing that happened in the mobile DJ scene occurred because, people started to see themselves as more individual artists and not so much as a crew. And so when DJs started to get their own solo gigs spinning at clubs or for, local radio stations, the need for the crew kind of evaporated. Damn! And then with the rise of turntablism, the turntablist as an artist, the image of him as kind of a solo artist up there on his own working the crowd, not needing crates and crates of records to mix, but a handful just to scratch, that kind of frayed the cohesiveness as well. So I think, just in any kind of movement building or community building, you're always trying to balance personal aspiration between community expression and community cohesion.
Rock the beat with your hands.
Bindlestiff is a community-based organization that's built off of individual artists. For us in particular, there's always that sense of, trying to have a larger purpose and representing, the larger community.
And a theater piece can't happen without a group of people working on different aspects of it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a collaborative endeavor. I mean, even if you were to do like kind of a solo show, there's still so many people behind the actual running of the theater, anywhere from people running the house to the box office and the folks in the tech booth. Bindlestiff has been very lucky in that we've always had a very dedicated core of volunteers, and volunteerism is such a big part of, why we're able to sustain and keep going after all these years. Yeah, I think the community aspect of Legions of Boom, the whole scene being so rooted in the community was something that definitely resonated with me and all the artists that are involved with this production.